You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
Welcome to this episode of Tavern Talk. This show is made possible by our wonderful Patreon supporters and our incredible partners at the Dice Dungeon, where you can get 10% off your entire order with the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout, as well as our partners at Describe, where you can find crafted box text written by professional writers. You can get 10% off your subscription when you use the code COMMON at checkout. This week we're talking to Ben about his characters. Now settle in by the fire, because this is Tavern Talk.
Am I meant to speak here, or do you guys speak here? I don't know how this works. It's weird being on the other side of the...
Yeah, we could. I mean, we can speak right now.
Oh, this is going to go on the episode right away.
So,
I'm right.
Oh, okay. We've got Rustly Drink Man. It's Ben here.
Hi.
And Chris, and me, as always.
I'm always here.
So, Ben, this week we're talking to you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for inviting me. It feels very strange to be on this side of the microphone. Mm-hmm. I love what you guys have done with the place. The roaring fire is beautiful. Yep. The ambient lighting's great. I mean, the fact that you've even hired a barman to sit and serve the drinks, fantastic. He doesn't make a very good drink, but he's here, so.
That's your fault. He doesn't like you. You just need to ignore the pools of vomit and the empty bottles everywhere. We've not cleaned up yet.
I was going to ask about that. I'm glad you've started with that.
Listen, last night was a little crazy, I'll admit, but we'll get there.
So you guys are going to show me how this is done then, yeah?
Yeah, of course. Obviously. Okay, good. We're going to be ultimately professional and great hosts.
And I'll do what you usually do and take it off the rails.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's the plan. So this week we're talking to you about a character that you haven't decided on yet, because we were talking to you like, yeah, I'll just talk about whatever.
Before we get into that, what are we drinking today?
Water, because he's a wet one, and me and Ben are drinking a mojito.
I am incredibly disappointed that Chris is drinking water. You big wet willy. But
I have a night of heavy drinking ahead of me, and I work at 6 a.m. tomorrow. To be fair. So
look, it does sound like, did somebody say the word excuse? It does sound like an excuse, yeah, but right? I will let you off this once, because you have to drive somewhere after recording, and I don't want you drink driving. That's the only reason I'm going to let you off.
I'm just going to say something.
Okay.
Public transport. That's all I'm going to say.
This is true. You could get a taxi.
You could get a taxi.
I will pull up my bank account on my phone right now and show you the $20 that are sitting in my account.
How are you going drinking then?
It's all that his house. Paid for it's all the bottles that he's collected. Okay. It's already paid for, and I'm just mooching.
That's what I do.
Classic.
Mojitos. These are my favorite. Yes. These are one of my favorite cocktails. Thank you for letting me.
This is a special kind of mojito. It's called a minty lich water.
Minty lich water. Mine is minty lich water. I've never made a mojito in my life. I usually order them.
Mm-hmm.
The ice is already melting away. Mm-hmm. So and you enjoy also this while you can. Here you go.
Okay. You go. Enjoy that. That was good.
Thank you.
I prefer that to your slurps
at some point tonight.
Please don't.
Well, I've got a straw, so
do it. Do it right now, Ben.
What, you want me to slurp or a straw?
Yeah, do both.
I can do like a.
That was fun.
I was trying to make it do the bubble thing, but I can't because there's not enough liquid in there. I can do a slap, hang on.
That's a good one. That was a good one.
Chris's face right now. There we go.
There we go.
I will though, for the lack of flavour. I mean,
there's
it's flavorful.
So, there's so much mint in that, Ben.
It's because I don't have a crusher thing.
A muddler?
So I had to kind of make do. I have everything else. I just don't have a muddler. So I made do using the this is awful. I used the bottom end of the strainer from my like shaker. Yeah, Chris, please stop looking like that. And then when I drank it, I realized there wasn't enough flavor. So I put another bit of lime and more mint in. And now it just tastes like a cheap mojito from a cheap bar. And I can deal with that.
You also used cheap booze, which didn't help either.
Look, all right.
I'm just going to be, look at me on my high horse here.
It's a cost of living crisis. Thank you very much. Anyway, so yeah, anyway. Minty Litchwater.
I'm going to go on Amazon UK and order Ben a muddler.
By all means, please.
With the remainder of his money, he can't afford a taxi, but he'll buy Ben a muddler.
And that, my friends, is true friendship. Yeah, Minty Litchwater. I really like it. Are you going to put the recipe on the server?
Yes.
It's actually, do you know what? It was really easy to make. So even without a muddler. So if you want to enjoy it, then there you go. That's my endorsement. Cool.
Ben, we'll come back. Okay, I
just want to say some cocktail science real quick right now. Because the muddler is mainly used to get like the oils and all that out of the mint. And I don't know if you've properly extracted oils with what you've done.
Some came out.
I mean, you'd probably be better chewing gum at the same time and then, like, sipping water.
Guys, it tastes okay. It just tastes cheap. It's fine. Move on.
Oh, the insult just writes itself.
Anyway, you want me to talk about
character? What character are we doing with, Ben?
Seeing as we're doing Minty Litchwater, should we talk about the bad boy, the one that everyone loves to hate?
The bad boy of Beirut.
The discovery waiting to happen. I'll let you draw from that what you will. Orlo James Arriman. He is my lich. He's not a lich yet. He might not be a lich. We'll see what happens. He was planning on it, but some things have happened. We'll get to that. That's the end of the story. Spoiler alert. He's not in a great way.
Okay.
Where do you want me to start? What do you want me to tell you?
Well, let's talk about what class he is, what he is. Let's talk about the basics.
Okay. I'm going to need the drink to get through this.
Get through this.
Orlo James Arriman is a 14th, I think, level wizard.
I think we are 14th level.
He is a warcaster. And he has some asterisks. Some homebrew bits.
Yeah, they are.
Mainly his own spells. But that's the basic. He's a warcaster, he's level 14. There's no like fun multi-class, he is a straight up wizard.
No.
Yeah, there you go. There's the basics.
Great. Thanks, Ben. We'll end the episode there.
That's the episode. That's all. Just make a war wizard and you two can be Varian's bad boy.
So, I mean, I've got questions. I don't know about Chris. Chris, have you got any questions for...
Well, I feel like, because...
Do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. But I feel like you know Orlo better than Chris does. Chris, how much of Orlo's like background do you know?
Not much. We've had a few conversations about it off camera, but like a lot of it, just listening to the show is mainly I've heard. You've told me like, your plans and whatnot that hasn't been... said like on the main show a little bit, but like
interesting.
I don't know anything too in depth.
Let me so give you like an abridged, like here's a quick flyby synopsis of what his life was. Yeah. Because I'm not gonna lie to you, his life is written in like over 7 A4 pages. Mm-hmm. So in the real world, in our version of the real world, not in Faerun, he
whose version of the is in like the actual real world?
Yeah, as in Earth, where we are right now recording this podcast.
So
in D&D canon, they can travel to Earth. Earth is real, exists. Okay. Anyway.
Yes, I know, I'm aware.
Yeah.
I really thought this was going to go with the whole, like, Orlo actually just got isekai to Faerun.
No, so in like, player character, sitting down, making a character world, I made him as a first level character. And I played him in the starter set, Lost Minds of Phandelver, which James ran.
I was going to say James ran that,
And this was like this was like 5 years ago, when we'd been playing DD for a while, but he went, do you know what? We've never actually played it. We should play it. And we went, yeah, that'll be fun. So we played it. At the end of that adventure, I took over and DM'd Dragon Heist, and Orlo was still there, and a couple of new players joined, and the party grew, and he was kind of there up until the point, if you've played Dragon Heist, where they got their base on Troskull Alley. And then he kind of just melted into the background. He was an NPC. And when I say he was an NPC, I mean he absolutely was. He only ever popped up if the players went, oh, can we go and ask Orlo? So he became this wizard that they lived with, who was always doing stuff, and they could go to him and say, hey, can you come with us and you cast this spell for us? And he'd be like, yeah, that is something I can do. But he'd only be able to do the things that that his character sheet said. Like, he didn't have, he wasn't a DM plocky. He was just a tool for them. While I was running that campaign, James ran me little solo games with him and he leveled up. And then when Tyranny started, he needed to be level 8. He was about there. So James and I sat down for about 4 hours together, no joke, and rewrote his, air quotes, backstory, as if we were writing a new backstory for a new character for his campaign. But we just formally wrote out everything that had happened from his start to this point where he was joining Tyranny. So everything was canonized. And then I started playing him in Tyranny. So that's kind of the weird route that he's taken. As a character, this is a really quick version. Young boy lives on a farm with his mum and dad and his brother. One day gets his arm trapped under the mill. It gets crushed. Oh no, loses his arm. Which arm? The right one. He goes to, they take him to a nearby old sage, an old wizard, an old warcaster. That'll come in handy later. And they say, we can't afford a cleric. And also we're nowhere near. This is the town of Amphil in Faerun. Can you help? And he goes, oh, I can stop the bleeding. And he stops the bleeding and he like stitches up the wound. And every day for the next 6 months, Orlo visits this mage and he helps him heal his hand. He has no arm. He's missing his arm from like halfway down the lower arm, forearm. On?
Above the elbow or?
Above the elbow.
Above the elbow.
No, sorry, below the elbow. Sorry.
Below the elbow.
Below the elbow. So, he's lost his hand. One day he goes and the wizard goes, is there with his books and he's really excited. He goes, I can help you. I can give you a new arm. He teaches him how to use mage hand. Cool. Orlo goes, this is shit hot. I want to use magic. And he starts learning magic.
Right.
That's where Orlo's mage hand comes into it, which is his own version of the cantrip. He has runes stitched and tattooed on his stump. Gone.
Is it a first level spell or is it a cantrip?
No, it's still a cantrip.
Okay.
But it the runes on his stump mean that he can have the hand there and not have to concentrate on the spell, which is basically a way for James and I to say, don't worry, you don't have to
constantly think about
getting rid of your hand. It can also lift heavier things than the normal mage hand, and he uses it to
a sword and wield stuff, swords. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so he uses his int mod to wield his sword, which is cool.
That's fun.
So yeah, he loves magic, starts traveling, collecting books, gets fanatical, wants to learn as much as he can, comes back one day to see his tutor, and he says, hey, I found this book with this name in it. What is it? The name is Vecna. And the tutor goes, don't go near that. Leave it be. Don't touch it. And he goes, okay, that means I want to touch it. And he starts like investigating it. Now, Orlo's obsessed with like the secrets, the things that nobody knows. He wants to know the dark magic, not because he wants to use it, just he wants to know it. Travels around for a while, eventually gets a Candlekeep, lives there for 8 years. During those 8 years, he makes friends with the ghost dragon, the Sentinel Wyrm that lives underneath and guards all the prophecies. Right. Like actual friends, they're Bezzy mates. And then he decides he's going to trick her. He says to her, hey, instead of meeting, Miriam is her name, instead of meeting in the basement where you normally live, why don't we meet in one of the tallest towers and look at the sunrise one day? And she goes, do you know what? That would be nice. Yes, okay. She goes up there. He goes down to the basement, gets into the prophecies, finds a prophecy. She comes down, finds that he's tricked her, makes a big ruckus, loads of the Avowed are called, and in front of everyone, she banishes him from Candlekeep forever, which is his home now, right?
Yeah.
He leaves, but he's got this prophecy, and this prophecy, which I don't have up in front of me, but the prophecy talks about a number of the adventures that were happening at that time on our tables. So, do you know what? I'll get it up because it's kind of cool. James did a really good job at writing it. So it's four lines. And it encompasses the three adventures that were happening for our parties, yep. or our players with different parties, and then links in Orlo at the bottom. Or that's what Orlo believed. Mm-hmm. So prophecy, here it is, characters, Orlo character info. The prophecy says, as gold is lost, as dragons fly, when the dead can do naught but die, a disfigured power handed one shall the fate of Faerun don. So gold is lost, dragon heist, dragons mm-hmm. fly, tyranny, dead can mm-hmm. do naught but die. To annihilation.
TOA, yeah.
Disfigured power handed one. That must be me. The fate of Faerun. Amazing. So he gets this like ego, but he's yeah. also depressed because he's, you know, betrayed his friend. Goes back home, doesn't practice magic for 2 years. Then he leaves, and eventually, that leads into he gets encouraged by his tutor to go and learn again, yeah. find his vigor for life, and that leads into him then adventuring and becoming a player character and all of this stuff. So. Then the adventures happen.
Yeah.
He goes off, and that's, you know, now he's level 14 and very sad. There you go. That's the really long, yeah. that's the quick version of okay. the really long story.
Okay. So I didn't know a lot of that, surprisingly. I knew bits and bobs of it, but not all of it. Mm-hmm. Which is very interesting. I can see why you're having a rough time at the moment.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on in his little mind, poor old Orlo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so now you can ask me questions about him, and now you know. The more you know. What do you want to know?
So, I was just going to say, like, I was going to ask you about your backstory for one. Also, what other spells do you have for Orlo?
In terms of, like, what does his spell own, book contain?
Yeah, like, his own is? Written ones, and then we'll get into the spell book.
Okay, because his spellbook is ridiculously big. He has his own spells. So he has Orlo's Mage Hand,
mm-hmm.
Which I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
He has Secret Pocket, which is a fourth level conjuration ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Takes an hour to cast. You touch a piece of fabric that has no pockets of its own, holding the pocket against the fabric. The spell bonds the pouch to the fabric as an extra dimensional pocket. Outwardly, the pocket remains invisible until the creature uses an action to fold a piece of fabric onto itself, creating a crease through which the pocket can be accessed. So it just creates a very small interdimensional space.
Pocket. Yeah.
Yeah. You can hold 15 pounds of items or a quarter gallon of liquid. And it adds no weight to the fabric it's bound to. He has Widogast's Vault of Amber, which is a spell from Critical Role.
Yeah.
It's a great spell. It's another interdimensional hiding space for your items. This is a man who likes to hide things.
You like to hide things, yeah.
Yeah. Orlo's Lightning Rod is a second level evocation.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a better witch bolt. A bolt of lightning is called down from the sky, striking a target within range. On a hit, the target takes 1d8 lightning damage each round for the next minute or for however long the spell holds. Mm-hmm. You may use your bonus action to strike the target with another bolt of lightning. And it does more damage when you level it up.
Yep.
And then through a deal with Lord of the Nine Hells, Mephistopheles, he now has he has a feat which means that his fire spells, his fire magic is hellfire, so it's not real fire, it's hellfire.
Yeah.
And it burns white hot and it looks white. So it ignores immunities and resistance to fire damage. And he got two spells. He got the Hellfire spell, which is a fourth level evocation spell, range of 30 feet. An explosion of bright white fire and brimstone erupts spontaneously from a location of your choosing. You deal 5d8 fire damage to any creature within 10 foot radius.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a seventh level spell called Hellfire Mantle, which is waves of blistering hellfire explode out from you, burning any creature within 10 feet radius. Creatures caught in the area of effect when you cast a spell take 5d8 fire damage. Any creature that enters the area or is in the area of the effect at the start of their turn, takes 2d8 fire damage.
Nice.
Okay. They're all of his personal spells.
His light level ones, yeah.
Mm.
Are those homebrew spells that you guys came up with yourself, or do you find them in other sources?
I wrote the Mage Hand, the Lightning Rod. I adapted the Secret Pocket from one I'd found. Widogast's Vault of Amber, obviously, is from Critical Role. And then James wrote Hellfire and Hellfire Mantle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And James also wrote the Hellfire Mastery Feat, which is the ignoring resistance and immunities.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Is there a way that we could potentially provide these on like Patreon or something if we do a little write-up so that if anyone wants to use the Orlo exclusive versions of spells in their
funny
games?
You should mention that. Two of them are already on the Discord server for PNG.
Oh, perfect.
So you don't have to be a Patreon, but you can go and get Orlo's Lightning Rod and Orlo's Mage Hand.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe there's something... Maybe there's something we're working on in the background that spells and items might appear in soon. Who knows? Not me.
Who knows? Nobody else knows. No.
Nope. Nobody.
We'll not discuss this on the Discord server at all.
It's fine. Totally 20 minutes into the episode, not a shameless plug for the Discord server, which you can find in the link below. Talk to us in the episode discussion, all that fun stuff you've heard us say before.
Good stuff. That makes me happy.
We like a plug.
I should mention, Chris, as well, I told Dave this before you got here. I haven't eaten dinner tonight, so these drinks are going straight to my head.
And we're doing a double recording tonight, so that's even more fun.
So the next episode, I'm going to be even drunker. Anyway, keep going. What more do you want to ask me more? I'm going to slip tonight.
I feel like I've been talking a lot. Chris, do you want to ask any more questions, or are you...
I have a few. So is there anything like you already kind of answered this with your homebrew spell, but is there anything else about Orlo that's kind of reflavored other than his mage hand that you like?
Yeah, there is. When I like conceptualized him,
mm-hmm.
I really wanted to buy into the war wizard thing. Like he uses magic, but he also uses a sword. Mm-hmm. So through the game, he used a relationship with another player character to learn and hone his sword fighting, and James allowed me to use some time spent learning in the in-game world to master his use of his mage hand with his sword. So he uses his int for his attack modifier for his sword attacks, which is quite cool. What else about him is homebrewy? There are some little bits, I think. Oh, he has two homebrewed items.
Okay.
So one is one I made, yep. And James approved, which is Arcanist Araman's Ring of Defense, where he spent, again, a lot of in-game hours combining two items he already owned.
Uh-huh.
So his ring, you use an action / reaction, depending on what you're doing, to cast one of the following spells from the ring if the spell is on your class's spell list. Mage Armor costs one charge.
Mm-hmm.
Shield costs two charges. The ring holds five charges.
It's like a staff of defense.
Yes, but that was one of the items. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think the glass staff was one of the items, but okay. Close.
Yeah.
And that's the ring that has the amber on for his.
Oh, okay. Vault of amber. Cool. Okay.
And then the other item he has is the Robe of Faltered Light, which was a gift from who we now know is Vecna. when a creature with a soul dies within 60 feet of you, you can use a reaction to absorb its soul. As a bonus action, souls can be exchanged for spell slots. This is the abridged, like, how it works on my character sheet. One soul is one level, so as an action, I can also cast the Raise Dead spell for three souls, and which raises dead. As an action, I can use the Create Undead spell at the cost of one soul, which creates two ghasts.
Mm-hmm.
The Robe of Faltered Light currently has no souls in it. Because I'm a good person,
I don't
absorb people's souls.
No, I bet I literally saw you in the space of probably about 3 minutes absorb at least five souls.
What? No. Anyway, so they're the two homebrew items I have.
I love that item. I feel like it'd be really nice as like a treasure or like a BBEG item or something.
So
in a home.
That's when you become the big bad evil guy. Yeah.
100%.
That's not happening to Orlo. I said to James, like his whole character thing is that he's constantly walking the line between good and bad. He's constantly being tempted to do bad. Mm-hmm. And he's like, cool, here's an item that does that. And I was like, fuck. Okay. He has this is a fun fact about Orlo.
Mm-hmm.
He has plus 14 to his initiative.
Because of the war wizard, right?
Yeah, so his intelligence is plus 5.
Yeah.
The war wizard lets him add his intelligence bonus to his initiative.
Which is dex plus.
He Yeah, so it's Dex plus Int. He also has the alert feat, which adds another 5.
Yeah, also. Yeah.
And the third feat he has 3 feats, is Warcaster.
Of course. Nice little clink there.
This mojito's getting better the more I drink of it.
No, that's a bad sign.
Oh, no.
I mean, we're getting a bit close, but I want to ask a question, and this is a very selfish question I'm going to ask on air.
Okay.
Just because I didn't know, but I know that we're obviously in a game with me, you, Wes, and James is DMing.
Yeah.
How does Orlo know Emra, and why are they so close?
Okay. So for context for Chris and anyone else, Emra is Wesley's character in Tyranny of Dragons. Emra is a drow. She's an artificer. And back when we were playing the Dragon Heist game, and Orlo was having his little side missions, there were a couple. So there's a couple where he needed someone, and it wasn't just a solo, like it was going to be too hard. So one of them was in a Dragon Heist session. He got the rest of the party were there. He called them to him, and he said at the end of the session, and said, I need to go to Baldur's Gate. Something bad's happening over there. I need help. Do you guys want to come? And we had like a 2-session side quest where James was the DM and I wasn't.
That's fine.
And there's like, now I'm going off the tracks here, but this is a really cool thing that I've just remembered. We started the session as if it was Dragon Heist and I was DMing, and James and I planned. So I described them like getting up, leaving the tavern, going through the city. They did some bits before they went off, and they were like, I thought we were playing James's game. I was like, yeah. I was like, Orlo's going to lead you to the tower. And they went to a wizard's tower to use a teleportation circle. And when I knocked on the door, we knocked on the door and I opened it, and I was DMing this. James played the wizard that appeared
in
the doorway, because his character from Dragon Heist didn't come with us.
Yeah.
So then he describes us like moving through the tower and what he sees, and the wizard's like hiding things from them behind doors and stuff, and then describes us teleporting. And as that happened, we got up and swapped seats, and he then DM'd. And we did the same thing when we came back from Baldur's Gate and arrived back in Norwich. So it's so cool. It's one of my favorite things you've ever done.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But the other session where he needed help, I went to Wesley and I said, Wes, I need help on this solo D&D game. Do you want to make a character and come and join me for the quest? He made Emro and said, yeah, I want to make Emro. I want to make this artificer drow. She has a shop in Waterdeep. We fleshed her out. They went on this adventure together. And after that, I said to Wes, like, when I need help, she proved herself to Orlo, like, he trusts her. And so I said, when I need help, I'm calling on Emro. And then every now and then she'd appear, like he introduced her to the other members of the Dragon Heist party via them coming to him saying, we need this. And he went, I know somebody can help you. And then they kept going to her and she kept popping up. And then eventually she became more and more of the game and became a true full-fledged character, not a one-shot character. Yeah.
Awesome.
It was really cool. Really cool.
And then you ruined it by bending her mind.
No. I just cast Modify Memory once and she had it fixed and she's forgiven me for it.
Too much. Anyway, Ben, it's drawing to the close of our episodes, and there's something we do here on Tap and Talk.
Oh my god, these episodes are so fast. I need to drink this quicker.
Would you like to do the honours?
Do I get to say ring the bell?
You get to say ring the bell, Ben.
Yeah,
you get to. Wow. Oh no.
Ring the bell! Ring the bell! Oh. There you go.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh. What does that mean?
It means the bell goes and then we wrap up.
That just means
and you have to finish your drink immediately.
That's kind of where we wind down.
Oh shit, I've got like half.
Yeah, hurry up. I'm already finished, so you need to crack on. Look, I prepared.
You had a much smaller one than me, and I've got to make another one for the next episode.
No. Don't be like that.
We should also say, I just got a bit of mint. the next episode that comes out after this one won't be the next episode that I'm on, right?
No, what?
Am I doing 2 episodes in a row, like being released? Or are we saving one for a little bit later?
We'll save one.
I don't know why. Because
I don't mind. I mean, it's up to you guys run the show here, not me. But I'm just thinking, like, wouldn't it be funny if, like,
in 3 months' time, it won't be that long. I pop up on an episode of just really drunk at the start.
That would be hilarious. Anyway,
like,
anyway.
You have to put a disclaimer at the start.
What I have in the can.
No, that was episode two for me. Anyway, we're going to wrap this up.
It shouldn't be that far. I'll look at the calendar and see where we're at, release schedule wise, but a few weeks.
Just to wrap this up, Ben, because I'm going to rein you in right now.
Yeah, go on. I'm drinking.
So just an oversight, while you're drinking that drink, because you're probably going to need it when I do this overview, Orlo's going to be evil at some point soon. He's going to kill all his friends and then maybe possibly take over the world.
Mm.
Right? Okay.
He's got a choice to make. He Vecna wants him to free him. And if he does free him, Emro may kill him.
Well,
Orlo, not Vecna. Slash you.
Slash. Yeah. They basically tell Ivan to kill him. Yeah.
So he has a choice to make. He either does the thing he has been conditioned to do his whole life, because that's what we found out. Vecna has been pulling the strings since the very beginning, since he was a child. Mm-hmm. He's not the reason he lost his hand, but
I mean,
as far as we know.
I mean...
However, also, if you haven't wiped it out, the prophecy's about Vecna, because he's also a disfigured power-handed one.
And it's the wrong arm.
It's the other arm, yeah. So if Orlo found the hand of Vecna and wanted it, he'd have to cut off his one good arm, which is hilarious. So he either does what he's been conditioned to do his whole life, or he breaks good instead of bad, and he goes to Emro after basically giving her what symbolically is like an engagement. It's like a promise ring.
Yes.
Last session.
Which was adorable.
Thank you. I've had that in my back pocket for a long time.
Literally.
So we'll see. I don't know. It could go either way. The thing is, if Orlo can prove to Emro that he's doing it for the right reasons, I could get both.
Yeah. I mean, Ivan may kill you, but we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. I genuinely don't know what way it's going to go.
I have fear in my heart for everyone involved. So, if you want to hear Ben...
finish my drink.
If you want to hear more of Ben, if you want to hear more stories about Orlo, come and join the Discord server, because it's the place to be. And that's all I'm going
to
say.
100%. We have our episode discussion area, which is open to everybody, commenters and Patreon members alike, where I'm sure you can poke Ben with questions that we didn't ask, and he'll be more than happy to answer anything.
I have art of him, his family, his mentor. I have a document that is
a long
15 document. Pages long and counting.
You have a binder with it all in.
Should we finish off with the fun facts of how many spells are in his spellbook?
Go do it, yes.
I'm going to have to count them. Are you ready?
Okay.
Do you want to make a guess? He's a level 14 wizard. How many spells do you think he's got?
Okay, so level 14 base level has...
2 times 14, 24.
28 plus 6, because you get a 6 at level 1. So minus 1 level is 2. So plus 4, you're right. So 32.
He should have... Chris, what's your guess?
I'm not guessing 32, Ben. I'm working it out.
Oh, sorry. You're being clever. Sorry.
So you should have at base level, just from leveling up, 32 spells. Now, I feel James is very generous to you because you are a co-DM. So I'm going to say, not in a negative way, not like I'm being
jealous. You're talking about favoritism?
A little bit. No. No. So I'm going to say 54.
Good number. Chris?
Hmm.
I'm going to go with my gut, my heart, the number that's right in there, and I'm going to say 47.
Okay, I'm not counting cantrips. You ready?
Okay.
Level 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Level 2, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34,
why do you have so many second level
35.
Spells?
35, level 3. 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 50, 1, 2, 3, 4, 54, going on to level 4, 55, 6, 7, 8, 9, 60, 61, 62, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 70, on to level 5, 71, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 80, 81, level 6, 82, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, level 7, 89, 90 is Finger of Death, 91, 92, 93. 93 spells up to level 7.
Why?
I wish I could screenshot right now because I didn't think
about
it.
You don't need that many spells.
Just so I could share what our Dave and I's face looked like as you counted up.
I didn't look because I had to like actively count because there's so many of them. But there you go. 90, what did I say? 94, 93?
Unnecessary levels of spells.
Yeah,
I probably use about 10% of those.
Mate, as a young wizard, I was very excited about the fact that one day I'm going to have a spell book with 100 spells in it. Like, that was a goal, and I'm getting there. And now, it's awful. It's so bad. I never have the right spell prepared. I never know what to prepare. I have too much to choose from.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I can prepare 16 spells at this level.
Yeah. Right?
Siri, did I say 93? Or 92?
90, I think I stopped listening after a certain amount.
I don't know what percentage that is. I was going to ask Siri, but I don't know how.
It's a lot. So it's, well, it's 16. nearly like 10%, right? So.
Well, 10% would be...
It'd be 100 and...
I don't even...
160? No. Yeah, that's right. 16 is 10% of 160, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm nowhere near 10%.
No, you're nowhere near that. So you're probably about... I don't know, fucking like 7%.
Great.
Sure. I'm just making things up at this point.
Anyway, there you go. That was the last fact.
I'm going to end the episode because you've waffled on far too long for my liking. Thanks everyone for listening to Tavern Talk today. And we'll see you with Drunk Ben at some point in the future.
Dave loves the power.
Yo, it's great. Us having our own show.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. This show is made possible thanks to our amazing patrons, as well as our incredible sponsors, The Dice Dungeon, where you can get premium dice and D&D products without paying a premium price, and use code WESPEAKCOMMON for 10% off your order to save even more. And Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, where you can find over 10,000 amazing descriptions for DMs and players, including over 600 free scenes, so you can try to describe it your game tonight. When you decide to subscribe to Describe, you can use code COMMON at checkout to save 10% every month for your first 2 years.
Thanks for listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at WeSpeakCommon.